assessing the damage after tornadoes ripped through several southern states.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. The death toll from yesterday's severe storms across the southeast has risen to 173, almost 130 of those deaths in the state of Alabama alone. The National Weather Service says dozens of tornadoes were reported across the state as severe storms ripped through Tuscaloosa, Huntsville, and Birmingham. My Marketplace Morning Report co-host Steve Chiatakis was in Birmingham during the storms, and he joins us now by phone. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, just tell us what it was like with all these tornado warnings.
It was chaotic. The power was going on and off. The power is out for hundreds of thousands of people in the area right now. I was just trying to get my family to a safer place. You know, a lot of the TV weather people were pointing to footage of tornadoes live on camera. A lot of action going on at one time, and all I could think about were those trees outside the windows that were swaying and trying to get away from all those windows.
Sure. And, Steve, we often think about tornadoes. We think about them in the middle of farms or out in away from the cities. But these tornadoes yesterday were in major populated areas with businesses and lots of people.
Yeah, let's talk about Tuscaloosa, Jeremy. You've got entire boulevards of gas stations and fast food joints and retailers that were damaged or destroyed. A mall sustained a lot of damage. Stores that were thankfully mostly closed because of the severe weather threat. That's what's so awful about all of this, is that a lot of people knew bad weather was a good possibility and couldn't escape it anyway. And now we've got a big human toll. Scores of dead and injured, and President Obama has declared a state of emergency here, freeing up federal money for cleanup, and that's a recovery, Jeremy, that's going to take a long, long time.
Marketplace's Steve Chiatakis with us from Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks, Steve.
You got it, Jeremy.
Well, in other news, we've got earnings this morning from Royal Dutch Shell. The oil giant made $7 billion in the first 3 months of the year. Exxon reports later today, and you can expect more big profits. Things are so swell for the oil companies right now, in fact, that some in Washington want them to live without key tax breaks. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports on how that would affect them.
They don't set the high prices, but oil companies sure do enjoy them. Some think industry earnings this year could rival 2008. That's when ExxonMobil earned $45 billion, an all-time high for a listed U.S. company. Now the White House wants to end oil and gas tax breaks and to spend that money on clean energy. Thing is, repealing subsidies won't hurt the big bad multinationals so much as the small independent drillers, says Charles Ebinger at the Brookings Institution.
There's a lot of people don't realize that it's not the big integrated companies that find most of the domestic oil in the United States, it's the independents.
And for all the talk of obscene profits, they tend not to last. 3 years ago, record crude prices freaked out consumers and demand collapsed. Barbara Shook at Energy Intelligence Group sees those signs again.
I think every one of these oil companies is concerned about demand destruction. They don't want to see the consumer switch to a more efficient vehicle.
For now, though, it's a great first quarter. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed right now across Europe and Asia. Chrysler is set to announce today that it has a plan to pay back more than $5 billion to the U.S. government and more than $1 billion to the Canadian government. It wants to do that as soon as next month by selling bonds to private investors. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped another 95 points to close at 12,690.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
If you're planning on heading to the movie theater this weekend, get ready to pay up, whether the movie is good or bad. The average price around the country is now more than $8 and rising, according to the National Association of Theater Owners. And LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus doesn't think that makes any sense at all. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you've got a problem with the ticket prices that we're paying. What's the problem?
Well, let's not say it's a problem with the ticket prices per se. I've got a problem with the movies that are being released. Most of them just aren't very good. But I still love going to the movies.
Yep.
So the question here is it possible to price tickets in a way that is reflective of demand for the film? And this isn't a breakthrough idea because Ticketmaster has just announced they're going to do this with concerts and sporting events, whereby the demand for the tickets is going to adjudicate how much they're going to cost. So a Lady Gaga ticket, lots. The Osmond Brothers reunion tour, not so much.
Wouldn't pay so much. Is there any chance of something like that happening with movie tickets?
Well, you know, it could be. I mean, look at the economics of this right now. Many tickets, at least here in Southern California, can cost over $10.
Sure.
Nationwide average, about $8. A family of four drops about $60 when they go to the movies. That's a big chunk of change, especially at a time when everyone's got a widescreen TV and a Netflix subscription.
Right.
So it kind of changes the economics of it. So why not price movie tickets according to the demand?
Well, isn't there a possibility, if that were to happen, that we would end up paying more than the $10 that we pay now for a movie?
Yes, indeed. And that's a good thing because it's an incentive for the movie studios to put out good quality fare. For example, would I have paid, say, $20 a ticket to go see Avatar in 3D? You betcha. I thought that was a terrific cinematic experience. The other day, though, I saw Sex and the City 2 on HBO. I feel terrible for anybody who saw that stinker at movie theater for top dollar.
You wouldn't have paid $20 for that one.
Not a chance. But had it been priced at $6, $7 because of lower demand for these tickets, yeah, maybe I would have gone to see it at the big screen.
Well, we'll see if your perfect world for movie tickets comes true. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Finally, the University of Nebraska in Lincoln has a new pricing idea, too. According to the Omaha World Herald, the school's chancellor is set to unveil a plan tomorrow that would make tuition for an engineering student significantly higher than tuition for an English major. The theory is engineers will make a lot more money than writers and English teachers after they graduate. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A lot of American universities are expanding their brands into the Middle East, the Persian Gulf in particular. It's about as cost-effective as you can get.
The Gulf countries offer essentially a free ride.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Gulf states give the phrase tuition assistance a whole new meaning. We'll have the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.